Willie and D. Mace continues to roll on this busy July 16th. Yes, it is busy. It's happening. It's like Nick was saying. It's late night at Waffle House. Heavy traffic. A lot going on.
Jukebox is rolling.
SEC Media Days in Dallas. Steven Stamkos in Nashville. He joined us. And now we've got Tim Hasselbeck, who is right in line. I'm sure he's done the late night thing at Waffle House once or twice. Maybe he even eats sardines. Not at Waffle House, but we were talking about sardines. Ben texts in and says, my wife eats sardines and mustard sauce, loves it, and the house needs airing out for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I get it. All right, so Tim, where are you on these two worlds? Because Nick Frazier, our producer, always gets us down on food somewhere along the line in a show. So late night at Waffle House, eating a sardine sandwich. Where do you fall in these two worlds? 0 for 2? 2 for 2? What do we got?
Wait. Do they serve sardine sandwiches?
No. These are two different worlds. These are two different worlds. I don't know. We got the wires crossed. We've been doing. We're trying to do too much today.
That wasn't me, Tim. Okay. I promise.
Yeah.
So Waffle House, I think, probably is better like after 11 p.m. for sure. You know, I think.
Yes.
I'm not saying I've never been there before 11 p.m., but after 11 p.m., I'm on board with that. And then I think I'm out on the sardine sandwich, just going to be honest with you. What did you say was on there? Mustard and stuff, too?
Yeah, like, I go with olive oil and salt myself,
okay.
But this guy chimed in for his wife with the mustard. And D-May said he wrote the sardines out of the menu at a young age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, D-May, basically, his diet like consists of like Starburst and Sour Patch Kids. I mean, that's pretty much.
Hey, that's how you live long, man.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised that he's out on sardines.
There was some TikTok or something my son showed me. It was a serious. I'm talking about it was like a down and dirty debate of Starburst versus Skittles. Like it got hardcore.
It was a
big time argument. You're going Skittles?
Skittles, yeah.
Yeah, I'm partial to Starburst myself.
If I wanted something, you know, in a Starburst shape, I get a Now and Later.
Now that's old. That's old school.
Yeah.
Now and Later. You can rip a filling out trying to eat a Now and Later. You got to watch out for that at the baseball field. But Tim, SEC Media Day is going on right now. Texas and Oklahoma coming in to the league. It is a really interesting dynamic watching the coaches go through all the questions and having it be in Dallas. And it really gives you the backdrop of the perspective, especially of a Texas that is used to being the big brother, but now they're joining a league that's full of big brothers. It's just really going to be an interesting storyline throughout the season, I think.
Well, and you have legendary coaches saying, look, Texas isn't going to come into this league and run through
right.
it. Right? So, yeah, I think that, yeah, part of it for Texas is exactly right. You know, they've been the featured team. That it's going to be interesting. It's also going to – look, and I think this is the case, like, you know, a little bit in the NFL, when you have a tough division, you can feel like, look, you're in a wave pool, right? It's – you know, one good team after the next, right? Just hitting you in the face. And I think that, look, that's how, like, true or false, like, that's how people have portrayed the SEC. And, you know, and so because of that, how some of these teams that are coming into the conference new, you know, how they absorb that, I think ends up, you know, being a huge storyline throughout the year. But I think this, and you guys know this, like, I mean, like, Florida hasn't been Florida, you know, and, you know, Vandy has been Vandy. And, like, there have been years where Missouri's good and years where they haven't been. There have been years where Kentucky's good and years where they haven't been. And so, look, it is going to run its course. I do think it's the strongest conference. But, look, Texas does a pretty good job of finding talent. They've played tough schedules before. And so I think they're going to be fine. But I also don't think they're going to run through their conference, but they haven't been running through their old conference.
Yeah, you got a point there. They've been struggling. Other than last year, they've been struggling for the last couple of years up until last year. And hopefully there's one day soon when we're not saying Vandy is doing Vandy things.
It's coming.
You know?
It's coming. We'll be all right. We'll get there.
Tim was like, Vandy's Vandy.
Yeah.
We need to say, hey, Vandy's no longer Vandy. Okay?
It was 2011, 12, and 13, James Franklin winning.
You're holding
seven,
on to that.
9 and then 9. Not 19, 11, 12, and 13. It hadn't been that long since they were pretty good. So I still feel like it's coming.
Hey,
it
Tim, he's holding on to it.
Here's what's interesting, though. Like, and I think it's a fair point. But look, when we're talking about teams, okay, and it doesn't have to be just Vandy. I mean, mm-hmm. Apply it to a pro team. You know, look, apply it to a high school team. Like, you're talking about, hey, like, these guys were good, 08, 09, 10, 11, that type of stuff. Like, to me, to you guys, I'm sure, like, my initial reaction to that is, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, that wasn't that long ago. Here's the deal. Like, that's over a decade ago. Like, we're in 2024. And so, like, there is an element when you start to look at, like, you know, some of these college programs. Like, think about Miami. You know, Miami was a great college program in the early 2000s. Well, early 2000s, we're still talking about two decades ago now, if you're talking about what Miami was in 2002 and 2003 and 2004. That's 20 years ago. You know, so, like, I think, I'm not saying it's too hard on Vandy or anybody else, but, like, yeah, look, hey, 2011 was great. That was 13 years ago, which means that any player that is on your team, they still believed in the tooth fairy the last time they were
that's true.
He got a point there.
True statement.
Tim, let's switch back. Let's switch over to the NFL. ESPN came out, and I'm sure you saw it, and I'm sure you've probably talked about it, the quarterback rankings. I have no problem with 1 and 2. I have no problem really with the top 5, with the exception of one guy. One guy, because I looked at that one guy and then looked at the guys that were behind him. Guys that have won Super Bowls, guys that have been in Super Bowls, guys that have won MVPs. He has neither. But people think that this guy is the second coming of...
Can I guess who you're mad about?
Go ahead.
Justin Herbert.
No, not even though I believe he's a little bit too high considering who's on that list. But it's Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
Yes.
I think
Josh Allen's a good quarterback. I do. It's not like I don't believe he's a good quarterback. But when you start ranking these quarterbacks, are you ranking them for what you believe they can be in the future? Because he has more years left than some of these other quarterbacks. Or are you basing it on what he has done already? Because if you base it on what he's done already, he shouldn't be in front of Goff. He shouldn't be in front of Matthew Stafford. He damn sure shouldn't be in front of Lamar Jackson. He shouldn't be in front of, why am I forgetting his name, the Jets quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. He shouldn't be in front of Aaron Rodgers. But for some reason, I think people are looking at what he could potentially do rather than what he has done, and the person that he has to beat is always going to be there. He's the Michael Jordan of the NFL, Patrick Mahomes, and your team hasn't gotten better. So I don't understand the rankings.
Yeah, here's what I'd say. I think people appreciate all that Josh does for his team. So we talked about this list quite a bit yesterday on NFL Live, and like, listen, part of it for Josh, in fairness to him, look, he's at playoff games where when he left the field, he was winning against the guy that you were just talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And so while that didn't happen last year, that certainly has happened in his career. So I think there's an element of that. I think there's an element of, like, people realize that Josh does things that, like, just there's a lot of other guys that can't do. Like, he's been their run game. Like, he just has been. So I have no problem with where Josh Allen was on the list. I think that top 4 or 5, whatever, I'm good with that. I actually believe that Stafford was a little high on the list. You know, the year Stafford won a Super Bowl with the Rams, he led the league in interceptions. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it is a team sport. So I think sometimes we get into this postseason stuff, you know, you got to realize, like, what the other side of the ball did for that football team. I thought Aaron Rodgers was way too low. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers, the last 3 years, okay, so you take out the year, obviously, last year he didn't play, 112 touchdown passes and like 21 picks. And then if you go back for the last 4 years, the numbers are absurd because he threw 50 touchdowns and like 3 interceptions that year. Like, he's dominated the league. Like, for me, like, Aaron Rodgers is going to be ahead of Matthew Stafford. You know, Dak being on the list, like, okay. Like, and I think the list is like, hey, what about this year? Like, it's a little bit crazy to me that Brock Purdy doesn't appear to be anywhere on the list.
Yep, honorable mention.
And another guy that I feel like, okay, if we're talking about if we're going to project to this season, mm-hmm. okay, not just what you did last year, because obviously, like, Aaron had a torn Achilles. Jordan Love, from weeks 10 on, I think he threw 21 touchdowns, or 18 touchdowns and one interception. Mm-hmm. Completed over 65% of his passes in every game but two. And then, you know, he was sacked 30 times on the year last year. Well, from weeks 10 on, he was sacked 11 times. It just tells you, like, you start putting that stuff together, what it tells you is, like, he knows where to go the football, gets it out on time, like, insanely accurate, obviously productive in terms of throwing touchdowns. To me, that's a guy that I would think is going to play like a top 10 quarterback this year.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, you mentioned Dak Prescott and him being 10th on this list, all while coming in second in the MVP voting. He had a hell of a season last year. Unfortunately, he didn't have a good postseason. Do you think he suffers from this sort of, because you have a star on your helmet, we grade you a little bit different, which means we grade you a little bit harsher? Because if you're on any other team, I don't think he's graded this way, especially after having the season that he had.
Yeah, I think Justin Herbert on the list and where Justin Herbert is on the list speaks to that, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, Justin Herbert hasn't had postseason success. So, I don't think there's any doubt. Like, there's just the focus on Dak. And whether some of it's been, like, because of his contract situation, I think a little bit like Kirk Cousins, that's happened to Cousins, where it's like, everybody seems to be just, like, so wrapped up into what Cousins was making and how it was guaranteed. Now, and I think, you know, Dak's contract situations have been similar to Cousins in that way. You know, guys that don't come into the league as high-round draft picks, and so because of that, they kind of get pushed out on the franchise tag, and then the cap numbers are big because they played well enough that they have the leverage. And so, you know, their situations are similar. And so now they're maybe making more money than people think that they should be making. And so when that happens, everyone's, you know, now not just judging them as a player, they're taking their contract into consideration. So, yeah, I think those things, as well as the star, have certainly, like, upped the level of scrutiny, on to Dak Prescott.
Now let's segue to the Tennessee Titans. And using this same ranking, does Will Levis need to be a top 15 quarterback at the end of the season for this team to have success? And when I say success, I mean a playoff team.
I think so, because, like, if you go through the guys on the top 10 list, it's kind of like, yeah, shoot, like, you know these guys are going to play well. Like, I just brought up Kirk Cousins, like, and we've talked about this last week, I think. Like, Kirk Cousins is going to throw for 4,000 yards and around 30 touchdowns, and he's going to throw fewer than 15 interceptions, right? And so, like, that's probably top 15 quarterback play. Well, probably. That's top 15 quarterback play in the league if you just look at statistically. And so, and he's not in the top 10. No one's arguing for Kirk Cousins in the top 10, right? Mm-hmm. So we got those top 10 guys. You got Kirk Cousins, they got to get you to 11. Brock Purdy, he gets you to 13. Jordan Love, gets you to 14. In the AFC, you want to come out of there. You want to come out of that division with all those quarterbacks, and you want to have success. Yeah, I do. I think in order to be a playoff team, you have to have top 15 quarterback play.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. So, Tim, speaking of quarterback play, let's go back to a theme because it applies to Will Levis as well, as we kind of project where he should be at this stage of his career based on his college experience. Georgia was at the podium today for SEC Media Day, and there were a lot of questions and discussion about Carson Beck, and I asked you about him last week at the Manning camp, right? Here's a guy that stayed and sat for 3 years behind the scenes as a pretty highly recruited guy, and Nick Saban said, we tried to get him at Alabama, and now he's reaping the rewards, the benefit, of being an older guy who's in his second year as a starter, fifth year overall, and is likely to be a high first-round pick. This is what Nick Saban had to say about Carson Beck. And then, in general, the development of quarterbacks at the college level and at the pro level.
Kirby Smart called him out saying it's an amazing story that he would stick around. How do you think that's benefited Carson and the quarterback that he's become in waiting for his turn?
Well, I think one of the big things with quarterbacks is look at the failure rate in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think the failure rate is what it is because guys go there early. They're not really ready. If you get drafted really high, first pick, whatever, you play before you're ready. You get frustrated. You lose your confidence. So the best place for a quarterback to develop is actually in college because he is playing. And I know Carson Beck well. I hate it, but he was committed to us. Somebody else committed to us, and he went to Georgia. So I've always watched these guys, you know, that you have these relationships with, and you're really proud of how they do and how they develop. But I think there's more guys at this position that need to stay put and develop in the system that they're in because I think in the long run that'll help them the most.
That's Laura Rutledge was asking Nick Saban on the SEC network desk about this whole issue. So, Tim, you hear that quote, and I've heard you discuss this before, but when you think of Will Levis in that situation, how much are you hoping to get a little bit more of a finished product when they get to you at the NFL level at 23, sometimes even 24 by the time they get there, as opposed to a guy who's maybe 21 and super gifted, maybe turning 22, who is a little younger but has played less?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked about it. So reps, like, that's the big thing. Like, it's a tough position. So the more reps, time on task, I think that stuff is really important. And I think the other aspect of it, too, is, okay, like who are you coached? How are you trained? So, like, you know, Liam Cohen, who he played for, you know, at Kentucky, at least for a year, like, he's the offensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There's a lot of what Liam Cohen does or has done that I think is beneficial. And so, you know, I think all of those things matter. Yeah, I think Saban is right. I also think it's interesting to Saban, you know, to say that, like, you know, guys that are here developing, you know, when you, like, take that quote in the context of Jalen Hurts, right? Like, hey, guys, stay at a place, develop, right, get coached, all that stuff. Oh, by the way, I'm replacing you with a freshman, so, like, go to Oklahoma. Like, I mean, so, like, Saban's right, and, look, one guy plays and all that stuff, but, like, I do think that was an interesting comment in light of, like, just the recent history of some of the quarterbacks coming through that program.
Yeah, the messaging is, look, there is a success pathway for some that stay. I think they know it's a runaway train, that there are going to be a certain amount of quarterbacks that just go if they're not starting after 1 or 2 years. It's certainly understandable, but I do think sometimes it's hard to see that. If you're a quarterback and you're 18 or 19, you got a lot of people telling you, and there's money involved of, hey, go over here. They need a quarterback over here.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like, pass to play, opportunity to play, and then your opportunity, what that leads to next, like, is a big thing. And, like, we talked about it at, like, certain levels, and then meaning, like, hey, do you need to go play somewhere bigger? Think about the guys leaving Wake Forest to go other places, whether it be Georgia or Notre Dame. Like, sometimes it's the right thing, sometimes it's not. Sometimes that might be your only opportunity to make money because maybe you don't get drafted. And then, you know, then beyond that, you know, like, do you go to one of those other places so you're surrounded with better players because they're adding those players? And, like, I don't know, I'm sure it's a huge topic. I've seen some comments from Clark Lee, you know, from the media day. Obviously, you know, the age of the transfer portal, the, you know, NIL, that type of thing, like where Vandy is in relation to the rest of the league. You know, it seemed like it was a topic of conversation, you know, at the media day. And, like, I think, I mean, it sounds like in some of Clark's answers, what he said is, like, yeah, look, we've, over the last 2 years, kind of had to change how we're approaching that, right? And I think that's the case for every team in the league. And I think you've got to be ready to evolve quickly. And that's at quarterback especially, but offensive line, probably the next group and down the line.
All right, leave us with this. Brandon Ayuk It comes out today. He's requested a trade. You can kind of see this coming. If you're the 49ers, how do you go about it? Because you can sit there if you're the 49ers and say, this is our chance. We've got Brock Purdy cheap. Like, your request is denied. Or do you want to go down that path?
No, I don't think you go down it. I mean, look, T. Higgins requested a trade too, right? Now it just looks like he's going to play on the tag. So I think you've got to know the player. But what you have to do is you have to avoid the hold in, right? So holdouts don't make it sense anymore because it costs too much money to the player. So the question is Brandon Ayuk going to show up, be a distraction and, you know, have a quote-unquote hamstring injury that doesn't allow him to go? I think as long as you can avoid that, you try to do what you can to work something out with him, whether it's, you know, him just acknowledging that, you know, he's going to play and eventually get paid somewhere else, or, you know, you end up, you know, finding a way to come to a contract agreement to make it work because you don't want good players to leave the building.
Tim, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for joining us.
Sounds good. See you guys.
All right. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN.com, head football coach over at Ensworth. Always great football perspective. SEC Media Day is rolling along. We've had Stephen Stamkos on today. We're going to pick up the Will Levis discussion a little more in the next segment. D-Mace talked about it. ESPN's got their top 10 out there. And it's not just like, hey, you know, Joe Smith throws out his opinion of the top 10. Like, these are NFL executives. They had a deep process of voting, and this is how it voted out. And obviously, Will Levis is not anywhere close to the top 10. But as D-Mace asked the question, how close can he get to that sort of discussion? Can he at least be in that middle 10 or get into the middle 10? And what would that mean for the team? We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
My baby gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day.
The news team in San Diego, led by Ron Burgundy, is harmonizing for us here on the show. Who's hitting the high notes on this thing? Oh, boy. We continue on Willie and D-Mace, and we're broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Studios in Napa.
You guys have it?
Yes, and that's the home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. SEC Media Day is going on. And also ESPN is coming out with their top 10 at each position where they polled NFL executives. And they have come up with a rating system that has come up with the top 10. And so if you haven't seen it, just real quick, it's the usual suspects. Mahomes is one. Burrow is two. Josh Allen came up at number 3. So some disagreement with D-Mace's rankings, who would not, he definitely, if I know D-Mace, he doesn't have Josh Allen as number 3. No. Lamar Jackson is 4. Number 5 is Matthew Stafford. A little high for me on that list. I was surprised. Justin Herbert, 6. C.J. Stroud, all the way up to number 7 after 1 year. Aaron Rodgers still at number 8 at 40. Jared Goff, 9. Dak Prescott, 10. Honorable mention, Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts, Tua, Kirk Cousins, Trevor Lawrence, also receiving votes, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. Okay. I think that there seemed to be, if I pick up a trend in there, a benefit of the doubt for veteran guys like Stafford in particular would come to mind, Aaron Rodgers for sure, and it's a little bit more of, these guys have the skins on the wall, I'm going with them. I sense that as an element there.
Yeah, because I think in Matthew Stafford's case, listen, he's closer to retirement than not. He ranked 10th last year, and he moved all the way up to 5 in front of C.J. Stroud. As much as I like Matthew Stafford, I don't I don't think he's a top five quarterback. Top 10 quarterback? Yeah, I can go with that. But top five quarterback? Nah. Josh Allen. Now, listen, the top five, you can, outside of Matthew Stafford, I think you can, because I think Dak Prescott should have been number five, and Stafford should have been lower than this.
Okay.
But if you want to have him, he should have been where Dak Prescott is, I believe. Matthew Stafford should be in a 10th spot, and Dak should be in a 5th. But, again, like I asked Tim, what are these criteria based on? Because if it's based on accomplishments, whether it be individual accomplishments or team accomplishments, Josh Allen doesn't have either. They've been to the AFC Championship game, and I understand, you know, people always go to, well, he did his job. Yeah, he did his job, but he is playing against Patrick Mahomes, and I know, understand it's a team sport. But what happened in those years prior to that or those years after that when he didn't – when he – it was because of him. Damn, they almost lost to Miami, had Tua Tagovailoa been a quarterback, and not them having to go through that third-string quarterback, I believe – they would have lost that game because why? He threw 3 or 4 interceptions with the cast of characters that he had. Fast forward, he doesn't have those characters anymore. Now we're going to see what Josh Allen is truly made of. I think Josh Allen is a good quarterback, but I'm not putting him at a top five quarterback. It's hard for me to put him up there considering what Goff has done in his career and what he continues to do. You look at Brock Purdy, what he has done in his career. It's his short career and what we envision he will still do. You look at Lamar Jackson, what he has done, but he's in the same boat as Josh Allen. You haven't won enough in the playoffs, but at least Lamar has 2 MVPs up underneath his belt. So I think they give Josh Allen more leeway than any of these quarterbacks. And then they always point to, well, he does more for his team. No, he doesn't. Look at Lamar Jackson. Lamar does more for his team than anybody does in the NFL. He doesn't have the plethora of weapons that Josh Allen has had since Stephon Diggs came there, and they had Gabe Davis and they had some running game. You know, they didn't have much of a running game, but that was by choice. They chose to run their quarterback instead of upgrading their offensive line and being able to run the football. So he hasn't accomplished no more than what Jared Goff has accomplished. He hasn't accomplished no more than what Dak Prescott has accomplished. So if that is indeed the case, why is Dak 10? Purdy's not in there. Goff is what, 7th or 8th?
I was really surprised that Purdy
Allen
was not in there.
Josh Allen is at 3. I don't understand that logic. Unless you just, because of his makeup, and you say, oh, he does more, he runs. Lamar runs for his team. Lamar does the same thing that Josh Allen does. So are you putting him ahead because if he's just a prototypical quarterback, like that 6'6 quarterback, strong arm, physical. He's in the line of a Dan Marino, Ben Roethlisberger, sort of Cam Newton type big quarterback. Yes, he has the potential, but he haven't realized it yet. You knock everybody else, other quarterbacks, because they haven't achieved the success. Well, he hasn't achieved no success whatsoever. Getting into the playoffs, making it to the AFC Championship game. Okay, if you want to say that's success, other players have done it too. Jared Goff did it and led his team to a Super Bowl, and he was in the NFC Championship game last year. If not for a drop pass, he might have been in the Super Bowl.
I'm a little surprised that Purdy did not crack the top 10. And it looks like he's dinged a little bit for being the system quarterback, even though his stats were off the charts last year. As far as the criteria, it doesn't really give one based on the article from ESPN. It just simply says they surveyed league executives, coaches, scouts to rank the top 10 players, and they did this for 11 different positions, from quarterback to cornerback and all positions in between. So this is the 5th time they've done it. But it doesn't really sound like they're telling anybody, hey, it's based on stats and this and this. I think it's up to the person. Now, maybe a scout is going to look at physical gifts like Allen's more so than the numbers, which would favor a guy like Purdy, who's not in the top 10. But I guess it's everybody's individual part. It's like the Heisman Trophy. Who's the best player? Yep. You decide whatever that means to you. So let's get to where this means for Levis, because, you know, as Tim pointed out, you get all the people that got votes. That gets you to about 15 or 16 quarterbacks here. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that we get a lot of real background on his stats, and I think the jury is going to be out. I think you'll have a much better gauge of where he is after this year. But you mentioned sort of a goal, and I think it's a reasonable one. If he could get into a discussion of maybe not being top 10, that would be a reach. Mm-hmm. But if you could get into maybe even getting a couple votes, honorable mention, which would get you between 15, 16, somewhere in there to the middle of the league, mm-hmm. I think that would be a nice step.
Yeah, it has to be, because if you look at all these quarterbacks, let me see. Obviously, you look at Patrick Mahomes' playoff, Joe Burrow. He was hurt last year, but if he's healthy, more than likely a playoff team, because they got, two, Baltimore, Cleveland. Those were the only two teams that made it out of their division, right? Because Cincinnati didn't make it to the playoffs.
Right, they just missed.
Yeah, they just missed. So we figure if he was healthy the whole season, we can count Cincinnati. Josh made the playoffs. Lamar made the playoffs. Stafford made the playoffs. Herbert didn't make the playoffs. Stroud made the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers was hurt. Goff made the playoffs. So you see where I'm going with this. Dak made the playoffs. And then you look at your honorable mentions. Purdy, Love, Hurt, Tua Tagovailoa. All three of
Lawrence.
Four of those guys. Four of the six guys that are honorable mention made the playoffs. Kirk Cousins was hurt. Trevor Lawrence was dealing with injuries the whole season.
And that's why the criteria is not, hey, it's based on the last 3 years or the last 5 years. It's just whoever you think it is.
So that's what I'm saying.
So if you're voting, you might vote on, did they make the playoffs last year? I might vote on, I don't really worry about, I want, this is for who I would want for the coming season.
Right? Exactly. Like
we could look at it any different way.
Yeah, but I said that to say this. If Will Levis is a top 15 quarterback, based upon this list, you're a playoff team.
At least right on the fringe.
Yeah, you're either on the fringe,
you could be
right there. Or a playoff team. Because two of these quarterbacks, two of them, Kirk Cousins and Joe Burrow, they dealt with injury. Mm-hmm. So they weren't even playing. Just imagine
Aaron
if both
Rodgers
were,
too.
Aaron Rodgers didn't play. Just imagine if those three played. They had a higher chance at making the playoffs than not. So that's why I say Will Levis to me, that's why I asked Tim that question. Does he need to be a top 15 quarterback at the end of the year in order for this team to have success? And based upon this list, he has to be.
The Athletic always does one on the tiers.
Yes.
That's a different way of looking at it. I'm guessing Mike Sando will have his thing going with that as well, because we always love getting into that. We had some huge debates when Marcus Mariota was going through it, and then some equally spirited debates on where Ryan Tannehill should be on that list. Because you mentioned something interesting that I thought of. You could have a top 15 season. But it doesn't necessarily mean you are one of the 15 best quarterbacks. Just like Matt Ryan was the MVP. He was an elite quarterback for that 1 year for sure, and maybe two or three of his other best seasons. But he wasn't year in, year out great, right? It all depends. Like, there are some guys like that where they could be great for 3 or 4 years.
Look at Geno Smith. Geno Smith had a great
year
the year prior.
Good example.
They dealt with a lot of injuries last year, so that's probably why they didn't ultimately make the playoffs. I don't think they made the playoffs, or did they? But the year prior, he had a damn good season, which parlayed him getting a big contract. That year, he was a top 15 quarterback. Now, where you slot him in that top 15, that's your prerogative, but he was a top 15 quarterback, hence his team made it to the playoffs.
Yes. So all that to say, this is another way of looking at where Will Levis is going forward. A lot to think about, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in our last segment. But you heard Nick Saban talking about being a little more developed when you come into the league. That should help. He believes that the NFL will benefit from this day and age where college quarterbacks might spend a little extra time. They're older, they play more, and they come to the league a little bit more developed than maybe you used to years ago when he was an NFL coach and struggling? Is that going to help a Will Levis? And then what is a reasonable expectation for Levis this year? They're about a week away from training camp. It's going to be on everybody's mind on a daily basis once they start taking snaps over there. Stay tuned. We're coming down the home stretch here on Willie and D-Mace, 102.5 The Game. We've had a great show here on 102.5 The Game. Our first hour, we talked a lot of Tennessee. They were at the podium earlier. Josh Heupel in this new world of college football, but definitely in the SEC with Oklahoma and Texas joining the party, a 16-team Super League. And it's not two eight-team divisions. It's everybody in one. Everybody's got a jumbled-up schedule. Who plays who? You can't figure it out. What's fair? What's not fair? You've got more playoff slots that are eligible now. You've got 7 at-large, 5 automatic. Where does that place Tennessee in the universe? Georgia went today. They've got a bear of a schedule. But, of course, everybody still looks at them as the king of the mountain. You've got to knock them off. They've got the returning quarterback. So plenty to discuss there. We talked to Steven Stamkos, who was in town today for the first time as a Nashville Predator. D-Mace and I had a great conversation with him. You can hear that by going to our podcast or just go to our website, thegamenashville.com. You're going to want to hear that if you missed it. They're going to kick around some of that later in the show today or later on the station today. Adam Vingan will be joining Stillman and Company today, and they'll touch on that. And in this last hour, we've really centered in on just setting the table for the sophomore season of Will Levis as he gets ready for his first year as the starter for the Titans from day one of training camp. And I think it's interesting, D-Mace, to go back a year and go back through training camp for him. Because remember what happened. He got hurt early in the training camp, missed a lot of time, and then kind of disappeared from the radar for a couple months, really. We saw him in the first preseason game, remember?
Yeah.
Then he got the weird injury, didn't play the rest of the preseason, and then was the third-string quarterback, not even dressing for a bunch of time. So this could be a very different vibe, as all eyes will be on him from day one. We were watching closely last year, but they were careful not to make it all about him last year. This year, it's a totally different story, I think.
Yeah, it has to be, because now the job is his. No longer are we looking at it from the standpoint of, okay, we just want him to be the number two quarterback. Tannehill's the number one. He can just compete for number two. That's all we, that's what we expect this year. And if something happens to Ryan Tannehill, then you can come in. But then he dealt with his own issues when it comes to injury, and sort of because of injury, lost out on that second string spot at the beginning of the season. Now, obviously, he recaptured it. He ended up being a guy that they brought in, to replace a hurt Ryan Tannehill. But now we look at it different, because now it's your job. You are the guy. So we are going to be watching you a little bit closer than what we did last season, at the beginning of last year. Because a lot of this, how this Titan team go, is predicated on whether you make the necessary progression in your career that you need to make. And honestly, because of your age, we should see that progression this year. You talked about it, Willie. Older quarterbacks coming in, and should they already be at that point of progression where they've reached that level that now they can be a starting quarterback? When you come out of college at 23, some at 24, they expect you to be ready now, as opposed to coming out when you're 20, 21. We allow you to grow into that position, and then that's how it should be, and then you take over the reins. But we see now that because so much money is involved, a lot of these guys are playing a lot quicker. As Coach Saban said, the former coach of Alabama, they're playing quicker because of the money that's involved in his game now. They want to see you now, and I think it hurts some quarterbacks. Not all quarterbacks, but it hurts some quarterbacks. where does Will Levis fall in that category? Because he was an older quarterback coming out.
Yeah.
So should he be closer to a finished product in the sense of, okay, we believe you're the guy now? Should he be closer to that or not?
He didn't look to me last year during the games of a guy that was completely lost. I do feel like, I mean, it's not like he didn't make mistakes.
Exactly.
And we knew he was under serious duress because he had no protection. Mm-hmm. But when he was able to go through the reads, I thought he had a clue, right? You know, I thought he had a decent understanding of what was supposed to happen for a rookie. Now, what do you think of this, D-Mace? Here's another different dynamic for this year's training camp. I'm sure we'll talk about it. But last year, he was literally competing to be the backup. So they were giving Malik Willis several reps in all the periods, and they still had Ryan Tannehill. Now he's going to be getting way more reps as basically the undisputed starter. I would think that they're going to handle Mason Rudolph much differently, right? They're going to say, you're the pro, you're the backup, you don't need the reps, this is part of the gig when you're the backup. So how much do you think that will help Levis, just taking more reps per period, way, way more than last year?
Well, it's going to help him a lot. Time on, was it, task on time, time on task, whatever.
Yeah.
The saying is, so it's going to help him. But... you know, how quickly, even though you – because we've seen a lot of quarterbacks, you know, get thrown in there, and you figure, okay, the more he plays, the better he's going to become. And it doesn't happen that way. They play a lot but end up still not progressing the way that you want them to. And then, hence, you know, you go out and draft another quarterback, Justin Fields. Whether you think it was Chicago's fault for not surrounding him with anything or you think it was Fields' fault, it didn't work. That he wasn't progressing the way they thought he would. And that was after 2 years, really 1 year, and they decided to go another route. How is Will Levis progressing in this offense? That's going to be the tell sign because, yes, you figure if he's playing more, he's getting better. But that's not always the case. So he has to prove, okay, yes, I'm learning on the job and I'm getting better and I'm progressing as I'm doing the job. You got to prove that. It's just not a foregone conclusion. We're going to throw you out there and you're going to progress because you're playing. That don't always happen. We've seen it go the opposite way. You play more, you play worse. You know, so that's going to be, you know, the deal with Will Levis.
Tomorrow on the show, we'll have Jonathan Hutton. We'll talk much more about the Titans there. We'll continue to give you the storylines from SEC Media Days. We'll have some other topics that we didn't even get to today. And we'll ask the question, why is it Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow? Uh-huh. Chad Withrow joined us earlier today. He did suggest that perhaps it could have been reversed just as easily.
But we can do it whenever we have Withrow on.
Yeah.
We get to say Withrow and Hutton. Or
do we
Hutton
even tell Hutton? Maybe we won't even tell him.
We
that
won't
that
even
came
tell
up.
Hutton. Yeah. He probably listening anyway. But
yeah, he might be aware. He might be well aware of what his partner was doing.
Hey, we're here with John Hutton with Withrow and Hutton. He just gives a look like, what?
Yeah, see what his response would be.
And just a quick shout-out. Oh, here's another thing for Predators. We thank Stephen Stamkos for coming on.
Yes.
Tomorrow, Scott Wedgwood is going to come on. A very interesting position to come into Nashville in between two very highly talked-about goalies.
Yes.
UC Saros and then the up-and-comer Yaroslav Askarov. How does he see his role? What have they told him about his role? He'll be facing the media. Won't be quite the headliner as Stamkos, but he's an interesting guy who's been through it. We'll get to know him a little bit tomorrow on the show.
And this, I want to hear what Barry, because again, like I asked Stamkos, was Barry as brutally honest with you?
Yeah. How did he sell it?
As he is with us. How did he sell Wedgwood coming, knowing what you just said?
Right. I think that's a great question that will be asked tomorrow. Also, just a quick shout out to all the baseball lovers out there. I still love the All-Star game way more than the Home Run Derby.
Too long, Home Run Derby.
The Home Run Derby, good grief. Can they find a way to shave off 45 minutes? They fixed the game, the actual games. Uh-huh. Baseball moves so much better now with the clock and everything. Got to figure something out with the Home Run Derby. It takes too long. It was
fun. Those guys get tired.
It was good. It got tired. And it was a great ending, but it's just too much dragging. It drags too much.
Yeah.
And one other thing, can we get the uniforms back? These uniforms these guys are going to be wearing tonight, golly.
Are they hideous?
Terrible.
I hadn't seen them. Are they hideous?
Well, you should just wear your team's uniform.
Right. That's just where, like the, where the white version.
If you're playing for the Tigers and you're playing left field, and I'm sitting, I want to see you in your Tigers uniform. I don't want to see this AL. I don't know who's who.
One should be in a light uniform. One should be in a dark.
Right,
but
and
it
wear
should be
your
uniform. Team's
uniform. Yeah. We agree. All right, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Enjoy the game tonight. Stillman and Company coming up. We have got Jake Lyman along with Adam Vingan. So keep it right here on 102.5 The Game.
Be love, love on your people. Have a wonderful Tuesday and peace.